Welcome to Hope is Alive. Yes, hope is alive in our Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because he said so. Jesus said in Luke, and he said unto them, I beheld Satan falling as lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall in any wise hurt you. Nevertheless, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Did you hear that? The spirits are subject to you, and you've been given all power over them. Now in Matthew 10, he was speaking to his disciples, and he said, as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons, freely received, freely give. And then in Mark, he said unto them, go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to the whole creation. And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that disbelieveth shall be condemned. And these signs shall accompany them that believe. In my name shall they cast out demons. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall in no wise hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Join us as we celebrate these verses given to us in God's holy word. Tonight we have a live interview with Mr. Everett Cox of Deliverance Ministries in Oklahoma City. We'll hear some more of his story and give you a chance to call in and ask questions concerning deliverance and setting the captives free. If you have a question about the issue of demons or evil spirits, then this is the time to call and ask. Join us because hope is alive in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Good evening and welcome to Hope is Alive. Good evening, Brother Ralph. Hello, good evening. How about Pastor Cox? Are you there, sir?
I am here. I don't hear Ralph either, but yes, blessings again from Oklahoma City.
Yes, and a lot of rain and storms out from us and east of us a good bit. I was hoping we wouldn't lose power. I think there's Ralph there, but good evening, Brother Ralph. Did you make it back?
Good evening. I'm having some technical difficulties here. Is that on my end or your end? Or
well, we've got Pastor Cox here. He remembered how to dial a phone,
okay.
So hopefully hopefully yours will get worked out.
It kept shutting off. Are we live right now?
We are. It is...
Okay. I do apologize. So here I am.
Using the smartphone.
There you go.
All right. Well, I'm ready to go. We just thank everybody for joining us this evening for Hope is Alive. Be sorry about the technical difficulty. I was sitting there ready to call in. It's a perfect signal. I go to call. It drops three or four times, and the next thing you know, it says no service. So I hopped in my van and drove around until I got service. I am on now, and praise the Lord. And we thank you for joining us Wednesday evening. And you might be asking yourself, what is Hope is Alive? Well, Hope is Alive is about testimony, and testimony about those who are freed from evil spirits, freed from demonic oppression, freed from that which oppressed them. And how was that done? It was done by Christians operating in their authority, which was granted to them by Jesus Christ and in the power of the Holy Spirit, to cast these things out. Now, if you have any questions regarding deliverance, deliveranceusa.com is an excellent website set up there for everybody to use. It's a click of a mouse, free of charge. Or if you like to read a book, like to have it the old-fashioned way, Pastor Cox written an excellent book called Doing the Supernatural Works of Jesus. It's just a step-by-step process. I call it Casting Demons Out for Dummies. It'd be a good name for it, but I think Doing the Supernatural Works of Jesus is probably better. You can obtain that by calling Richard at the office at 307-742-7582. Let him know you like to have that book, and he will get it out to you. Well, Pastor, I know from seeing the email, I think you had quite a few this Monday night. Is that correct?
That's absolutely correct, Ralph. A bang-up evening. We actually had 37 on the list. They just kept coming in, but it's pretty typical. Not everybody comes at schedules. I know the enemy talks many out of it. So we netted out at 21, and we had 22 ministers. So that was a wonderful evening at Deliverance Ministries in Oklahoma City. The fact is, we actually had an extra minister. So it sounds like it's getting more and more every week.
Well, that's a good thing. That is definitely a good thing. Yes. That means captives are being set free. And so that's a good thing. And, you know, it seems that the Holy Spirit always seems to coordinate just the right amount of ministers for you.
That's right. Isn't it amazing? And even an extra one this time. Say, I wanted to mention something, Ralph. We had an inquiry today about a young man that was sleepwalking. And they were wanting to know if he couldn't remember anything that went on, didn't even know he did it. Plus, there was other weird tormenting things with him in the night often. And they wanted to know if that might be demonic. And, of course, as we've seen it, any problem area that's overboard and reoccurring and tormenting, it's very suspicious there's an evil spirit behind it. And the good news is it can be cast out in Jesus' name through what's commonly called deliverance. And just like we had the 21 cases Monday night, they had all kinds of strange things going on as well. We hear a little bit of everything at Deliverance Ministries and have over these 37 years we've been doing it. Around over 700 exorcisms a year take place there. And so it's high adventure and very fulfilling. All just totally pumped at the end of the evening, having seen people's lives turned around. The lady I worked with Monday night was a great example of she even looked younger. She looks different at the end of the evening. And I went through all the basic steps. They all worked, even the limb check and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I went through all the, of course, she went through the door closing prayer and the soul breaking of ungodly soul ties and the inner healing and traumas of the past, and got the head deep up and interrogated it. It was just a perfect ministry session, and yes, she looked wonderful. In fact, she's going to be our first caller to tell her story tonight.
Well, that's awesome. It'll be fresh on her mind.
That's right.
So, fresh in her mind.
Very fresh.
Somebody asked sleepwalking, and it's something that that I had happened to me from time to time. Never gave much thought to it if it was demonic or not, but I had so many other things that were, I suspect it could be. But how many times in the past you've heard about somebody walking in, murdering somebody in their sleep, and have no recollection they did it? They end up going back to sleep. They have no recollection they did it until they wake up. Now, for years, I hear about these things, and I always thought, well, they're crazy.
Yes, that's right. And if a demon's in charge, and we find there's about 10%, when a demon is up manifesting, the person doesn't know anything that's going on. In fact, one of our ministers Monday night after we did all the ministry, we were talking, and he had one of those cases where he got the head demon up, interrogated it, and went through all the lies, and it was telling a person, wrote it all down on the yellow tablet, and then finally when he cast the head demon out and the other spirits, the person didn't remember anything that went on. So that's just one of those cases like that.
Yep, and I've had those cases myself doing deliverance where people had no idea what was going on, what was said. read off the list of things. They said, I said those things. I said, well, you didn't say it. It was your voice. It wasn't you that said it. So I believe it can be. It doesn't mean that I think the person ought to be acquitted. But I do believe that the sleepwalking can definitely attack the demonic spirit. I think it could also be, I know times as children, they wake up in the middle of the night, walk out groggy, half awake, and they say, well, let's go back to sleep. And they go turn around and go back. I don't think something like that's not, even some people that work a whole lot and they get up, they have no recollection to get up. I mean, it was the bathroom, got a drink of water, and came back. Completely ignore people. I don't see that being as demonic, but if it's a habitual thing, it certainly can be tied to a spirit.
That's right. Hope report, reoccurring, tormenting-like, very suspicious. Again, if it is an evil spirit, it can be cast out and the problem's gone. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And tied to paralysis, that's definitely...
What was that? Ralph, are you there?
Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Yeah, I heard you then.
Okay, all right. Like I said, I don't know why. I had strong signal, and now I don't have much of a signal at all, so I don't know what's going on. But talk paralysis. Sleep paralysis is definitely tied to demonic spirits.
Oh, yes, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, I know I experienced that often in my life. I could feel actual physical arms holding me down, physical hands holding my mouth, covering my mouth so I couldn't cry to Jesus. And that was a pretty terrifying thing when I was younger. I didn't know what was going on. And as I grew in the knowledge of my authority, it didn't scare me anymore. I just got tired of it happening.
Wow.
But after going that hasn't happened like it has. I mean, there's been a couple. There's been this a random demonic attack, and don't know what it was. Easy to let it get them to go. Just ask the Holy Spirit anything I've got going on in the house. I'm unsure. I go through and exercise my authority and command all spirits, break all assignments, and generally it's just a once in a while thing, maybe once or twice a year, but. It was definitely not like it used to be in my life.
Yes. Well, amen. And so all these weird things are going on like that around us. And like you say, well, most people don't know what to do about it. They just figure it's odd, but they have no idea it might be an evil spirit behind it.
Yep. Definitely can be. So, if you're experiencing these things, maybe you're hearing this for the first time, or maybe you've lived often and never really heard us talk about this. If you're having your good news is, if it's attached to a spirit, attached to a demon, it can be cast out. It can be cast out very easily, because we are not given some power. We weren't little power. We're given not given some time power. We were given all power and authority over the enemy.
And that is so major to learn. Most Christians have never focused on Luke 10:19. We hang our hat on it big time, and because it's such a major passage that tells a Christian who they are in Jesus, and even the promise from Jesus that nothing will harm us in this kind of ministry. So praise God.
Now that's the biggest one, and nothing shall harm you. That's the biggest one, and when you know that promise, when a demonic spirit does manifest, and it can be a little scary at first a few times you see it, especially if you're not used to it, or maybe you've never even heard of it. But the first few times a physical manifestation comes up, you just got to quote 10:19 and that promise, and nothing shall harm you, and that's a promise. It's true, and it's just when you have that, you understand you got to.
Well, Ralph and Pastor Cox, Jennifer's on the line, so we'll bring her in. Jennifer, thanks for calling.
Oh. Well, thank you.
Yes, hi, Jennifer. And Ralph is on here with me. He's up in the Branson area. We're so excited you called in, and I was just telling them, the people earlier that what a great evening last Monday was, and I had such a beautiful case, and all the steps just went, seemed like perfectly, and the person seemed to get a Jesus overhaul. But before we get into all that, why don't you go ahead and give some history on yourself, Jennifer, and what was going on in your life, and how you learned about deliverance, and of course what your deliverance was like, changes you've seen so far, and so on. So go right ahead.
Well, thank you, Everett, for taking my call, and I appreciate you being interested in how everything went for me on Monday. A little bit about myself. I grew up in a Christian home. I asked Jesus to come into my life when I was 7 or 8 years old, and I had wonderful parents. I grew up, I got married, and I had children, and just like, you know, many people who are listening to this call, I experienced life, you know, difficult things came along, and in the last couple of months, I have really drilled down into how emotions are connected to our health, and because it seems like I just would seem to look around and see people who were going through a disease process, and it was just like it was their body screaming that there was a wound in there, and that's how it was manifesting itself. So I was already beginning to think along those lines when I learned about deliverance ministries. And I learned about it from a friend of mine. And at first, I was really interested in it for someone else. But my friend Jane, suggested that I go first before I bring anyone else. So I didn't really know what to expect. I come from a background that, you know, of course, believes in God's word and believes what God's word says, but doesn't talk a lot about the gifts of the Spirit. So when I first got there and I talked to my friend Jane about this ahead of time, I was most interested that what went on Monday night was biblical. That was very important to me. And I can say that the whole experience followed God's word. It edified God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. And the first portion was done collectively. So Everett prayed with our group. He started with the salvation prayer for those who already were not Christians. And when that was done, he encouraged new believers to follow up with water baptism. He also, and this I loved so much, that he took his Bible out. It was tattered and worn. I could tell he had read his Bible, had read his Bible a lot, and he with Scripture showed us that we as believers have authority, and that he read Mark 16:17, that we have authority over oppressive spirits, and he read more than one Scripture, and he quoted more than one Scripture. And I really appreciated that he was standing on what God's word said. He then took us through ways that we open doors to oppressive spirits, like unrepentant sin, honoring our parents, works of the flesh, things I know that you guys have talked a lot about probably on this show. So then after that was done and he collectively brought us through that, we went into a room and it was Everett and my friend Jane was there as well, and I really appreciated her presence there. And he asked me at first what I thought what I thought concerning issues were. And so I mentioned fear and money right away. And so he asked me, we talked about that a little bit, and then he asked me to start, you know, in the womb and go through and sort of identify experiences and emotions that were connected to them. And it was back and forth between my timeline and traumatic events, as well as going back to this idea that I brought up at first about fear and money and some other things that I was concerned about. So we started at the womb, and I had had a childhood trauma when I was, you know, between 2 and 3 years old. And I never really thought that affected me. And when we started talking it through, I feel like God helped me to make the connection to that trauma and fear in my life, and how I have done a lot of self-silencing in my life. I won't really Well, I wouldn't really share what I thought or how I really felt, or whenever it came time to speak publicly, it's really a challenge. I do it, but I don't do it with, I didn't do it without a lot of fear. So I really, in that scenario with the three of us in the room and the Holy Spirit, just made that connection between how I self-silenced myself, and it really goes back all the way to that trauma that that evoked emotions in me and evoked fear in me and all of the spirits that really go along with that. So he prayed that he helped me work through the process of giving that fear and all that went with it to Jesus. And it was a very freeing moment for me. We then went to, he then dealt with, he brought up the spirit of poverty, and I had talked about money beforehand and how I have dealt. And it's interesting. I've never, when I was growing up, we always had money. There was not lack in my childhood experience at all, but yet I had a connection to a poverty spirit. And I remembered as we were going through my timeline, I just sat still and I went back. It was a place, and it was a place that we lived when I was born to when I was 2 years old. And it was my parents arguing about money. And my parents didn't hardly argue, but when they did argue, it was about money. But the irony is they always had money. So, of course, that lack obviously was connected to something generational. But there were so many feelings connected to poverty, that poverty mindset, like shame, worthlessness, and never really having enough, never really being enough, I was never really good enough to make enough on my own. And so Everett confronted the spirit of poverty, and with the power of the Holy Spirit, he released me from it and other oppressive spirits connected with it. And it was, it took a while. And I had actually been dealing, I have been dealing since January with a jaw issue. You would might think of it as like a TMJ, teeth grinding, nerve, tooth issue, that I had done everything in my power, everything naturally. Dentist, and just could not get a handle on it. And the spirit showed us that there was a connection between that spirit of poverty and my jaw. And so as of today, it's been 2 days, that is almost 99.9% gone. And so even last night, I slept for over 8 hours. I did wake up three times, but actually two times in that, but I fell asleep immediately, and my teeth grinding is lessening, and the teeth grinding, just all part of that. So I have to say that what I loved so much, even apart from being freed, was that I felt like it was done with respect for Jesus and his spirit and God, and it was done in authority, because we have authority because that's what God's word says. And I just appreciated so much how Everett did not edify himself, but he only edified the Father and Jesus and the Spirit. And he confidently stood up to that which is trying to take us down every single day. So I appreciate you giving me the opportunity to share a little bit of my story.
Oh, yes, Jennifer. I thought it was interesting, too, when I was interrogating the poverty head demon, that was its name, and interrogating it about any rights, come to find out it was operating off a curse, a sixth-generation curse through your father's side. And yet you all didn't have any poverty problems growing up, but nevertheless, that curse had come down six generations. And, you know, that's quite a few years when you think about if you gave 50 years to a generation and it's six, so that's what, like 300 years so of ancestors. Interesting, wasn't it? So praise God we broke that off and confirmed that So that's gone. Hallelujah.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it so much. You know, my dad, he made money, but he always worried about it.
I see. Uh-huh. So even though he provided, it was a huge torment and concern to him. Now, that head demon also mentioned something about your liver. Have you seen any changes there that you can tell?
I actually have. There was some tenderness there, and that is not there anymore.
Hallelujah.
So, it's awesome. I'm so thankful. I'm just so thankful about my jaw.
Yes, praise God. And we're finding over and over, Jennifer, when we have head demons up and we interrogate them, that they often are responsible for different infirmities, even like your jaw and a liver problem, and we've even found cancer situations. A demon is actually responsible for it. And, of course, as we continue to interrogate it and discover that, then we would typically say, well, if you put that disease or that problem on that person, you can take it off, can't you?
Right.
It would say yes. Then we would command it therefore to do it and pull it all off of that person and bind it up to the head demon and advise when it was done. And it did that in your case. And then, therefore, when we cast it out, that goes with them, with the head demon. But isn't that amazing? Mm-hmm. Imagine how much of that is going on out there, Jennifer.
Mm-hmm. Well,
around the world,
feel like,
and everywhere.
And I'm looking at people, and they have these things going on with them, and they don't have a name, or they do have a name, but no doctor can help them. And I'm thinking there must be something underneath that. There must be something underneath that. And so I really feel like that was also something very insightful about Monday night, that you have the emotion, but then what's underneath the emotion?
Mm-hmm. Yes, and some demons that come in through those emotions, in fact, like fear and anger and what have you. And they actually came in some event, often as a child, in fact, when they had an event with those feelings, and then they had them the rest of their life until some minister works with them and gets rid of that stuff. So, you know, it's all around us. We all got a big job to go. Maybe the Lord will lead you into doing ministry.
Well, I am still processing all that happened Monday night. I've really spent some time praying about it today and just really thinking about what happened, the impact of it, and then even how I got to the place where, you know, things were going on with me, and I didn't know why. And, you know, thinking about my significant childhood trauma where I've gone my whole life and I thought, you know, that really didn't affect me. That was okay. And then to process all of these emotions that I have dealt with my entire life, that I've had to struggle to overcome and really pray through them and work through them, that they could be all drawn and directed back to a source. It was sobering, and it made me sad for the little girl who was me.
Mm-hmm.
Always trying to perform and always trying to, you know, work hard enough, and if I just performed good enough, but then apparently I can't. That was always my thought process. I can never perform good enough. Well, there was a root to that, and I'm glad to know that.
Well, and of course,
just knowing that is
freeing. Those lies you were hearing in your head that's typical. In fact, that's really on everybody, and it depends upon to what degree they accept it as a truth. Some write off. I usually say after I write the 10 top lies down, the demon is speaking into the person's head, and I get him down there, and negative things like you're talking about, not good enough, no one will ever like you, you'll never amount to anything, and in some cases you might as well take yourself out, no one loves you, and they win with some people. Some people accept those lies. Some even think it's God talking to them. And there's a scripture in 1 John 4, 1 through 4, that enables us to find out who's talking. And it's a simple thing of saying to any voice, anything that's coming into your head, just say to it, will you confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh? And a demon, of course, will say no. And they will say no, of course. So that's a common thing. And all of us even have that after deliverance. The difference is once somebody's been through this kind of ministry, they've learned about the lie program and those negatives coming into their heads, and instead they start filling their head with who they are in Jesus, like in that handout called the I Am's, with all those scriptures of who we are in Jesus and all the pluses of who we are. And mm-hmm. that counters those lies. I've even had demons tell me that they're having a hard time with a person with a lie program because the person is standing on the word too much. It's exactly how they said it. So it's good news for all of us there to fill our heads with the word of who we are in Jesus and not listen to those negatives coming into our heads. Another mm-hmm. good point to bring up, I think you probably noticed, was when I would interrogate a demon that would say something, do you recall I kept saying back to it, will you confess what you just told me to be true before the Lord Jesus and the Holy Spirit? Mm-hmm. And the demon would say yes or no. That's how you can find out if they're lying or not. I can't recall if I caught mm-hmm. any lies when I was ministering to you, but it's pretty common to catch them. They'll try to lie to you, so it behooves a Christian to learn to say that. Well, we have just about mm-hmm. a minute left here. Jennifer, what would you say in winding up to the listeners?
I would say that there is freedom in Jesus, even more than we may know about. I'm a Christian. I go to church. I love Jesus. I do my quiet time. I pray. I'm a prayer. I have done all of those things for years, and I am so grateful that it brought me to the place where I was ready to hear about deliverance and then to experience that. If you don't give up and don't lose hope, continue to seek Christ, because he will lead you to a place of deliverance if you keep seeking him.
Praise God. And, most Christians, Jennifer, with those problems you had when we ministered, most everybody has similar problems out there, and without ever going through deliverance, they just live with them, and they cope. They go to heaven because they're born again, but they never did live life abundant. Well, thank you so much, Jennifer. Your blessing was a wonderful testimony. God bless you.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And Ralph and Pastor Cox, we've got Jane, okay. The next caller's ready. I'll bring her on. Good evening.
All right. Thank you, Jane.
Good evening.
Hi, Jane.
Can you hear me?
I think Ralph is still on here with us.
I am. I actually dropped the call again, came back on, and I had my mute on as I was talking.
Okay, Ralph. Ralph's been having some technical problems there.
Yeah. I think it's operator error tonight. So.
Seems to have
Jane,
a lot of this.
Jane,
show.
Thank.
Yes, Eric.
Thank
can you
so
hear
much,
me?
Jane, for calling in. Yeah, I hear you fine.
Oh,
why don't you go ahead and give some history on yourself and when you were born again and what was going on in your life and how you learned about deliverance and what your deliverance was like and changes you've seen and experiences you've had. So go right ahead.
Okay, well, I was on your show not too long ago after my deliverance on May the 24th. I accepted Christ as a child of 10 and Southern Baptist Church, knew I was filled with the Holy Spirit, never doubted my salvation and where I would be when I died. But I had some very wounding experiences as a child, as so many of us had, and a door was opened in me as a child that at the deliverance ministry, I realized it came in really, literally began in the womb through my mother's stress. And so what it did was develop a real eating disorder in me. That's the way it manifested. The spirit manifested in me. Struggled with that all through even childhood, teenage years. And I became very angry and rebellious teen. And that continued for a lot of my life. Went through two marriages and an abortion, was married again for the third time in 1986. In the first marriage, during 1974, I had a beautiful, beautiful daughter born in that marriage. And through all this pain and dysfunction and just deadness from the abortion emotionally and also dealing with the spirit controlling my eating, really was such a lack of mothering in me. And so she suffered the brunt of that, and lots of doors were opened in her as well. But we began a recovery journey together right after 1986. And so God really began a work of the Holy Spirit in me through that long process and, you know, came back into church and really in a lot of Bible studies, seeking the Lord, in a lot of ministries. It's working in the Pregnancy Crisis Center as well. I was working with special needs children. And I remember sitting on the couch one day, probably in 1987 or somewhere along there, and just crying out to Jesus, is this all there is ever going to be with you? Because I felt like I was doing everything I can. I was so busy at church work and just felt this dryness. And so he's just taken me on this journey that brought me to your deliverance, Everett, on May the 24th. And I've had some precious, beautiful, supernatural experiences with him even before that point. And I was volunteering again at a Pregnancy Crisis Center and sharing the gospel, seeing Holy Spirit come and give them the gift of salvation. So I'd seen beautiful things happen. But I always had this cry in my heart about a few things. One was I wanted to have the continuing awareness of his presence. I know people had that, and my maternal grandmother certainly had that. She just talked about Jesus like he was a cousin or brother or whatever. I thought he lived in her house when I was a little child and that he was always leaving the room when I came in. So I've been around people like that, and I just was crying out, I want that. I want to feel your physical presence all the time. And that, and then the other piece was, I'd seen through just door-to-door evangelism, people accept Christ, and I'd had that experience one time at a pregnancy center back in probably 1987. And I was crying out, I want to see you save people. I want to be in that place where one more for Jesus, like that man, there's a man that was always his thing, one more for Jesus. And I was thinking, I'm going for long periods of time. I'm not sharing the gospel. I'm teaching Sunday school. I'm doing lots of prayers with people. But I'm not seeing people come to Jesus. I'm not seeing salvation for them. And so Jesus brought me to this pregnancy center again just in the last year, and I did begin to see that. But when I came on May the 24th, and the other thing I wanted was deliverance from that stronghold, from that spirit controlling that emotional eating with me. It had been my idol for decades. It was my comforter. It was my reward. It was really so much of everything for me. I started planning what we were going to do that night, and it just kept me through three marriages. It provided those emotional needs instead of letting Jesus. And I had beautiful quiet times in the morning, but then about afternoon, it began to rise up, and at night, that's who was in here with me. I wasn't allowing the presence of the Holy Spirit. It was just controlling me. And so May 24th, I was completely, completely delivered from that. And Mary Sue was my counselor. She took me through this beautiful, beautiful work of inner healing and in the womb. We got to the root of where all this came in. And so I was delivered from that spirit and from also a spirit of oppression. And so when we were doing that door closing work, in the spirit, Jesus was there. And he closed those doors, and he took his blood and sealed those doors with his blood. And I knew they could never be opened again. Nothing can come. No weapon formed could come against that. And there is this peace, this joy, this presence with him that I never had before. And it is lasting. It is lingering. It is just permanent done.
Oh, yeah.
And there is a joy in me. And then so what has happened since then that I think you wanted me to share, Everett, is there is this boldness to witness in me. And complete, almost this leading of the Holy Spirit that I've been able to ask, you know, do listening prayers. I've been able to ask for guidance and direction and receive that. But it's not just this ongoing conversation. And that's what I have with Jesus. There are always three in the room. There's two in the room always. And now if anybody else is in there, then there were already two, now there's three or whatever. And so it's that kind of walk now. And just today, it's so interesting, so much happened. I mean, we got back home to our hometown last night from being with you Monday, and I just stopped and counted six really supernatural things happened just today from him.
Wow.
And I thought, wow, it just gets better and better. It's like
so.
I've heard you say, Everett, you know, the adventure just gets better and better.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, it was such
a
gift to come to the training session Monday night and they get to come in. I had asked for that I could come in and that I could observe you. And that he said mm-hmm. yes to all of that, and the way that came about was just amazing. And for me to have seen that work in my precious friend, who is someone you would literally love to be your role model. She is just so precious, so lives such a precious, beautiful life that anybody would want her parenting emulated. I mean, it's beautiful. And to see that deliverance in her, it's what I found before, this people that came with us on that plane were all spirit-filled, all in very beautiful, fruitful ministries, and there were 13 of us there, and we all had very different experiences, but the total majority, probably 99% of us, had something completely changed in us.
Praise God. Well, you sitting in, Jane, as you were there with Jennifer, was it kind of amazing to see that hit demon of poverty speak out of her mouth?
Oh, absolutely, because I've been through all your training materials. I've read everything I can get my hands on about your work. I've done, you know, spiritual warfare work and readings a lot before, but this was so powerful and different. And the physical manifestation of me being free from that in that work that I did, that May 24th, we didn't experience that physical manifestation then. There was so much else going on with me for inner healing. And I love that Mary Sue was just being led by the Spirit for that. So before I came down into that room and watched poverty and how you talked to that head demon, that was huge for me. But up in the training room with Chris, who is an excellent trainer, I will say, and took us through that, he did a work in that training room and about anything that has come into us recently. And there was a physical manifestation for me right in there. And it was a critical spirit, a judgmental spirit that I felt had come into me in just the past 2 weeks. And so as we were casting out whatever it was that Holy Spirit was revealing had come in, I just started yawning. I wasn't tired. I wasn't sleepy. I didn't have that feeling of fatigue at all. And I just started yawning. And I just know that was coming out of me. And I didn't yawn another time the entire night. So, yes, but when you were working with Jennifer and watching that, that was so powerful for me. And when you put that Bible on that demon and her moving around, that was huge. Yes. And knowing a lot of what had already been shared with me, to see that identified in that way, wow, yeah. I mean, it's just, you know, it is just so powerful, so powerful what Holy Spirit is doing. And as I were talking today, Everett, this thing, after that happens, I really believe Holy Spirit just keeps coming, and that was so wise of Jennifer that she's very quiet and processing through it with Holy Spirit. I think that's so important for our work as part of deliverance, is that he continued to reveal what happened, what's gone on, and how he's going to use it, and what it was all about. And I kept having these revelations after that. And another one happened today, just as you and I were talking, is that the deliverance is not the end game. As beautiful and wonderful as that is, you would just think, oh, I can just stop and enjoy that and just, wow, live in that new identity and that new place. And no, it is about the deliverance to then go out and bring in the harvest. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. And then we go out, and we are ready to bring salvation, to bring those in that Jesus brings to us.
Yes. You know, Jane, we probably get more people born again at Deliverance Ministries than some of the churches that specialize in it, because we've got people coming
and I love that.
From everywhere for help with their problems.
Yes.
And someone has said, well, go to their Deliverance Ministries in Oklahoma City, and you're likely to get free of that problem. Well, in the process, of course, we always get them born again if they're not. And that's one of the questions on our interview after, when we first sit down with them, when make sure they were born again. That's one of the questions. When were you? And a certain number of them will write in tonight. So praise yeah. God, that's the greatest thrill of all.
Well, yeah, that is that beautiful work of that. And when I was up there in the training room, and then to listen to the testimonies of what's going on, and to think of there's beautiful little family up there, brothers and a sister, and so as everybody was telling us how the Holy Spirit, what is the work in your life? And it's all so different for everybody, but these two brothers and a sister are out on the streets. I'm sure there are others up there, too. I know Nancy was going out. They're going out on the streets and sharing. I thought, we are so, or especially me, so empowered, so bold now to witness. Now we can be full of our gifts, and so now it's the time to go out and use them. And this one, I just got to share, this is so precious for me, even how Holy Spirit sits us by people. And so this precious young lady up there who's out on the streets ministering, so I just looked at her, so beautiful and young, and I just said, oh, tell me when you became a believer. And went, I'm so new. It was either 3 weeks or 3 months. And I said, how old are you? 23. She's up in the training. She's a counselor. And I'm going, wow. I mean, I just love that. I love how he's coming for the young people, coming not only for salvation, but for deliverance. To just, they're going to go out.
Yes.
It's just the early church. We're just seeing the Acts church now. I just love it.
Jane, think what they can do in their lifetime. I didn't get into this until age 44, and many of us were the kind of similar. But imagine learning it in the 20s like that and becoming a minister.
Oh,
think what
yeah.
they'll do in their lifetimes.
Oh, yes,
well,
Everett. It's just so powerful. And I'll say one more thing. I don't know if I'm out of time. Am I out of time? Well, you'll
come
off.
No, you got a couple of minutes. Go ahead.
Since May 24th, I have seen a granddaughter accept Christ with her mother in a truck. And I've seen another grandson who we prayed the spiritual lockbox over. And now he is beginning to see how Jesus has been at work in his life. And I know deliverance is coming for him. And I just think this work is just so powerful. And any organization that we're in, any place that has come, God has brought into our kingdom to rule over, it's part of what he commands us to do, that we need to be doing this work over them for freedom.
Yes. Well, we're about out of time. What would you say in the remaining 30 seconds, Jane, to the people, the listeners, as you wind up there?
Well, especially to the people that have been delivered, is to be the bold witness. And for those that are listening that have not been through deliverance, that if you're listening to this program, Jesus is calling you now to that. And just say yes.
Yes.
And he'll bring you to this place. And you'll know a peace and a freedom and a boldness for him that glorifies him, that we begin to see the face of Jesus all around us.
And feeling his presence like you are now. Praise God.
Yes. Yeah, if you want to be
thank you so much.
Feeling the measure of the fullness of God, it's about deliverance.
Yes. Thank you, Jane. We're out of time.
Yes, thank you.
It was a wonderful testimony. God. Blessings to you.
Yes, God, it was.
Bless, God bless.
Bye-bye.
Continue your work. Bye.
We receive that. Bye-bye.
Excellent. Excellent testimonies this evening. You know, she sat there and mentioned how she was doing everything she could for the Lord, volunteering at the pregnancy crisis, and was teaching the Sunday school and all those things, yet she still felt that emptiness, that hole that was there.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the enemy oppressing her. The enemy was to steal, kill, and destroy, and she didn't have the joy that she should have. So if you're missing that joy, if you're having things that seem to, I just can't get rid of it. I can't overcome this. It could very well be attached to a demonic spirit or a curse or something, and it can easily be cast out. DeliveranceUSA.com is a website where you can go through and work on some self-deliverance, or if you want, if you're close enough to Oklahoma City, either the contact information is there. You can let them know you'd like to come out there. Or if you can't get out there, maybe you're overseas, maybe you're somewhere else, it's too far to drive, you can get the book written by Pastor Cox, Doing the Supernatural Works of Jesus. Call Richard at the office at 307-742-7582. Let him know you like to have it, and I'll certainly get it out to you. Well, we do thank everybody for joining us this evening. We'll see you next Wednesday. God bless, and have a good evening.
God bless everyone.
Luke chapter 10, verse 19.
I have given you authority to